This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball, NBA, and NCAA. Your home for live sports is AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, let's stretch it out a little bit here, Gino. Let's talk some NHL Stanley Cup playoff hockey. It's something like we've never seen before. And when we're going to talk hockey, we want to talk to one of our regulars, Dennis Bernstein, thefourthperiod.com. Joining us in the sports bar, Dennis, we were off for a good 4 months in isolation, so we are more than ready for the return of hockey, and boy, did it make its return known this weekend. How are you, buddy? How are you holding up?
I'm doing great, Danger and Pataglia. I'm doing great. I'm in the bunker here in Los Angeles. Won't come out till probably around 11 o'clock tonight, but great weekend, great return to the game. The NHL and the Players Association have done a wonderful, masterful job to get this game back on the ice.
Yeah, what does it say about the National Hockey League? Like, we like to poke fun at Gary Bettman and some other things, and certainly the lottery might have gotten some critics here. But Dennis, it so far so good for what the league has put out here.
He's the best commissioner in sports right now. As crazy as that.
Right now, yeah.
You look at right now he is, absolutely. They did incredible work. And look, we would have liked to get the game back on the ice earlier than August 1st, but when you look at zero positive tests out of 7,000 today, they did all the right things. Fans are tuning in. We'll be playing hockey until October, hopefully. And look, it's really hard to criticize, and everybody did the right thing. The players and the league and the Players Association knew was what was at stake, not just finishing the season, guys, but because they extended the CBA another four seasons, the future of the game was at stake, right? If we had not brought hockey back in the States, like, it would have been an afterthought. It really would have went way down the scale of interest with respect to fans. But the fact that they brought it back, and it's been, six games today, it's crazy. But going from zero to 120 in a matter of days has been incredible.
Yeah, and also with that CBA, the return to professionals playing in the Olympics, which, will be a nice welcome addition, something that I think a lot of hockey fans have been screaming for some time. Dennis, when you're watching the games over the weekend, and granted, we haven't seen every team. We're getting our first glimpse of Washington and Tampa Bay as we speak. What was most surprising to you from what we were able to watch this weekend?
Not surprising. What I thought would happened, actually. I drew the parallel to baseball in April when pitching's ahead of hitting. I thought defense was ahead of offense. If you look at the games, I think probably 80 or 85% of the games have been under six goals. So there hasn't been a ton of offense, but that's what you expect in the Stanley Cup playoffs. There's not much to separate between these two teams. The most shocking thing was Montreal's win over Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh will come out and dominate them, and they couldn't find a way. And if you're a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, you got to be worried. They're 1-9 in the last 10 playoff games. They've lost 7 in a row in the postseason. And now they are in a situation where if they don't win game two, they're done. And I think 81% of the teams that win game one in a best of five series in the NHL historically have won games now. That's back in the 80s, and it's a different game. So I'm not really subscribing to the fact that these teams are done. But I think the biggest surprise to me was the upset. I was not surprised that Geno's Blackhawks winning over the Oilers. I picked them in 4 in the series. I think all you had to see were guys like Duncan Keith and Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane motivated. They were certainly motivated in game one. That first period by them in Edmonton was amazing. And now all the pressure's on Edmonton because they were expected to win. They're playing in their home rink. And now if they don't win tonight, they're done.
Yeah, it's a format, and for everybody that might not be familiar with it, 12, teams from each conference. 5 through 12 are matching up in a best of five, and then you have the top four in a round robin, and that's what we actually have right now. We're watching Tampa Bay leading Washington 1-0. The round robin meant to keep these teams sharp. I'm watching the Bruins Flyers game yesterday, Dennis. I thought it was okay. A question came in post game though: is this Bruins team in trouble? Like, what are you talking about in trouble? Does it matter, Dennis, if these teams are seated anywhere between 1 and 4? What would be the incentive right now to be number one overall?
Well, I would say that there isn't any incentive, because if the 12 seeds win in both conferences, then you got, and here's the thing. People criticize when they do brackets and the teams play each other and 100-point teams play each other. You're playing good teams. Even these teams that shouldn't have been in, if you've been watching them, they are playing very, very well because they have a stake at the Cup. So I don't buy this. You're going to have to play good teams to win the Stanley Cup. And if you're a 5 through 12 guys, you have to win 19 games, which is unprecedented. Usually it's 16 W's and you get a Cup. Well, if you're coming out of the qualifying round, you got to win 19 games. Just get your mindset that you're going to be playing a team that's motivated, that wants to win. There's not going to be a lot of time and space. This is Stanley Cup hockey. There are no blowouts. There are no 7-6 games anymore. Right. So I don't buy the seeding stuff. I think you got to watch the third game of the three at the round robin. Will it be like the fourth preseason game in pro football, where they just guys out into dress rehearsal? Will the second game be important, and then you don't want your guys hurt in the third game, so you sit them out? I don't think these coaches care about seeding, because it's totally up for grabs at this point.
Dennis, we talked about how exciting this new playoff format is, wondering, you know, down the road if we'll see this kind of format take hold in future years. But before we talk about that, I want to go back to one thing that I think the NHL didn't get right. And I don't know that it's anybody's fault. It just felt like an anticlimactic, less than satisfying conclusion to what would have been an exciting night for a lot of fans. And that was the NHL draft lottery. Imagine one of these teams, like a Pittsburgh or an Edmonton, ending up with the number one overall pick and winning the Alexis Lafreniere sweepstakes and adding to an already good team.
Well, if Edmonton loses, I'll debate how good the team is. Mm-hmm. Like, when you watch that team play 5-on-5, they're not any good. The goaltending, Mike Smith was terrible in game one. So how good is the team? You know, this is not the NBA where you add AD or LeBron to a team and they're going to go to the championship round. It doesn't work like that. If you don't have depth of players, like you watch Carolina today, like they trust four lines to go out there and shut down the Rangers. It's not just adding one player. If it was, it just doesn't work like that in this league. When you have guys who can't produce on your second, third, and fourth lines, you're not going to win in this league. So Pittsburgh, yeah, maybe, but Pittsburgh can't win a playoff game for the last 3 years. So how good is Pittsburgh? So if you go in, I'll just say this. If Pittsburgh loses to that Montreal team in this series, I will question how good they are. They're totally healthy. They got Jake Guentzel back. They have Jason Zucker in the trade. They got Patrick Marleau in the trade at the deadline. They loaded up and lose to Montreal, who lost to Detroit 4 times. They're not that good, guys. So I wouldn't have a problem with it. I know some fans on social media probably go crazy over it, but maybe Sid and Gino aren't the primetime players they once were. We'll find out tonight. If they lose this game and lose 2-0 to Montreal, who's certainly overmatched, then I question your take on how really good those teams would be.
Des Bernstein from the Fourth Period, our guest, tied at 2, after 2, Winnipeg and Calgary right now. And that already had our first really controversial play. Where did you, because I've heard both sides of this, where do you come down on the to Chuck hit there, Dennis?
Okay, so it's not surprising Chuck's involved in a controversial play. I don't think it was intentional. I think it was unfortunate. The injury doesn't seem to be as bad as they thought. He Shifley went out, was doubtful for today, didn't play today. Unfortunate. I don't think it was intentional. The guy walks the line. I get it, just in the big picture. And one day, he's going to have to pay for it. I'm not sure when, but one day, probably he's going to run him down, and he's going to get a substantial injury. So I'm not surprised it's Matthew Tkachuk. He plays on the edge. I don't think he went into that play looking to kick Shifley's leg and say it was intentional. And look, I respect Paul Maurice. I love him. I think he's one of the best coaches around. Articulate, thoughtful. I totally disagree with his saying it was a filthy intentional hit. I don't think so. It was an unfortunate accident. And you want to look what the league did. The league didn't do anything with respect to the hit. So it's just unfortunate that Shifley's out, and also Patrick Laine. But No, Winnipeg's hanging in there. Like you said, they're 2-2 after two. Maybe they'll hang in and win a game, but they're up against it without those two players.
Dennis Burstein, the fourth period, our guest in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia, talking some NHL Stanley Cup playoff action. And, man, in normal circumstances, Dennis, I think all we would be talking about today is a goal that was scored with 1/10 of a second remaining. Colorado over St. Louis. Now, it's a round-robin game, so it's for seeding. It's not as crucial as some of these play-in series are. But, man, it just, to me, it shines a spotlight on Colorado. How good is Colorado in the West going into the Stanley Cup playoffs?
I have them going to the Cup final. I think they'll lose to Tampa. I think it's Tampa's year finally. But, yeah, and not only that, guys, they are a team of the future. They have a ton of cap space. So if they wind up not winning the Cup, and there's a deficiency on the blue line or net, or I doubt it's up front because they've got so many great forwards, Joe Sakic can go out in the market with a flat cap, but some teams that will be up against it might have to trade, like a team like Tampa is going to have to trade two or three forwards. Like, they are a team of the future. Their window's open right now. I do like St. Louis because they're the older team, the more mature team. They've been there. But, yeah, Colorado is a team of the future. I would suspect in the next 2 or 3 years, if Saka keeps making the right moves, they're going to win a Stanley Cup because they are scary good and they're entertaining. It's not like St. Louis that, you know, grounds out wins games 3-2. Colorado was high speed, high tempo all the time. Nathan MacKinnon was my choice for the Hart Trophy. Yeah, but you're absolutely right. They are a team that's going to be a contender for at least another 2-3 years.
Still tied in the third, midway through Winnipeg and Calgary. Our guest is Dennis Burstein from the fourth period. All right, Dennis, I held off long enough. Okay, and I'm going to ask the question with kind of a mini rant here. You and I and a lot of other people would agree that Jason Bottrell deserved to get fired. But the process, or lack thereof, you hired Kevin Adams. Dennis, the Sabres had all the time in the world to talk to other candidates, and maybe they like Kevin Adams at the end of the day, but why wouldn't you take the time and learn from others around the league, and maybe you get an idea or two? Just your thoughts on the transition from Bottrell to, in my opinion, an unproven Kevin Adams.
Well, look, here's what happened. There was a vote of confidence for Bottrell, and then Jack spoke up, and then, 10 days later, Bottrell was fired. So let's not pretend on who has the power with respect to the ear of the owners. It's Jack Eichel, and now it's his team, and now it's his fault. So, yeah, Kevin Adams, I know. Look, if you're a Sabres fan, you can't trust the ownership at this point. You hope for the best. You can't trust them, right? There's been no legacy of winning here. There's been enough time. You can. It's been shown that if you make the right moves, you can make a team a contender. I wouldn't have given Skinner $72 million. I'm sorry. Just $9 million a year, and he scored, 20-something goal. He would have had a 20-goal season. Everybody could have predicted that. He's not a $9 million a year player. So I can't trust him. Good luck to Kevin Adams. I say a novena for the Sabres fans every night before I go to sleep. But I can't be optimistic about this team. They have to trade with Stallone at this point in time and get some more help offensively. But who knows? Like, they need – and here's the problem, guys. Like, if Kevin Adams calls some veteran NHL management guy, like, example, Mike Fuda here in Los Angeles, who didn't get his contract renewed, is that the team I want to step into? Is that where I want to tie my legacy into? Like, this constantly changing in the front office, and maybe I come in and maybe Kevin Adams gets whacked, and then maybe I'm the GM down the road. Is this the team you want to step into of all the 32 teams, if you include Seattle? Not me. I wouldn't want to do it. I got to figure there's a better job somewhere. Somebody will step up and help Kevin. I don't wish them any ill will, and I root for the Sabres to be good because I think their fans need to be rewarded. But at this point in time on the development curve, I don't blame the Sabres fans for not trusting the ownership. It's a mess right now, and I don't see it getting any better next season or two unless Kevin Adams is a miracle worker.
Dennis, I have a way for us to – I mean, we didn't see it this year, but, I mean, if they keep the playoffs expanded to 24 teams, I mean, maybe then the Sabres could actually make the postseason and end their little drought that they're on here. Dennis, look, I think that that's a stretch to believe that that will happen in years to come, but I have a feeling that they're going to see success with this new playoff format through the pandemic. Could we see a permanent playoff format change in years to come here with the NHL?
I think what the format change will be is because, look, the playing round is going to be successful. It's going to be a lot of viewers. People are going to be excited about it. But I think what they'll do is I think they'll go to 20 teams. So, and I think what they'll do is the play-in round would be 7, 8, 9, 10. So can Buffalo get to 10? They could, conceivably, with a decent season. I think that's what they'll do. I don't think they're going to keep it at 24. 24 out of 31 teams, soon to be 32. I think that's a little bit too much. But I think there's more revenue with respect to postseason games. So the way they can do it is, hey, look, we had success with this playing around in the pandemic season. Let's expand it. And I think there's already been talk about that. Go to 10 teams in each conference, have a playing around best 3 or 5 with 7, 8, 9, 10, and then have a normal playoff. So I think that's what will go on. So, yeah, there's opportunity for Buffalo if they can get to a 10 seed next season to make the postseason, I believe.
Dennis, you know, because Sabre fans have to look forward to next season, and maybe that starts in December, maybe later. I mean, you and I, everybody else, we don't know how the world's going to look, but could you see a scenario where we'd actually have the bubble be to begin next year?
No, I don't believe so. I think, look, I'm not a medical expert here. I think this virus is a 2020 event. So by the time we get to late, like it was going to start in December, but I would hope that things are better. I don't think it can go on consistently because that this is a live gate sport. Like they depend, a lot of the revenues are dependent on having people in the buildings. Now they may not start the season with full capacity in buildings, but I believe things will get better with the virus. There'll be better therapeutics. Maybe we luck out and get a vaccine. I don't think we can play entire next season without any fans on the stands. I just think that would not be other leagues might be able to do it because of their TV revenues. The NHL can't do it. So I think at some point in time, we'll have fans in the stands. But again, it's dependent on what happens in the world, which none of us have control over.
Dennis, what are you and the crew at the fourth period working on here for the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Well, I've got my terrible picks for the first round here. So we have about 6 or 7 of us experts doing that. And then we're just following the league. I will be in Edmonton for the Stanley Cup final, which should be very unique. I'll have to do the quarantine for 14 days at this point. So I'll be going up in early September and then covering the final from probably mid-September to early October. So coverage on all the playoffs and also the Stanley Cup final. Hopefully me and my partner Dave Pagnot will be in the building in Edmonton for that, which will be unprecedented.
What is it like? What kind of process do you have to do to cross the border these days, Dennis? What goes into that?
Yeah. Well, there's an extensive interview with respect to getting through customs. So you're going to sit down probably with a customs agent for probably 15 to 30 minutes and talk about why. Now, media is considered an essential business. So you can get in the country. If you're going over the border for work, which this would be, they will let you in the country because I believe there's 4 or 5 PHWA writers in Edmonton right now from places like Pittsburgh and I think Minnesota and a couple other places in Colorado. So you can get into the country of Canada if you are working. But it would entail me being in my hotel room for 14 straight days and adhering to that quarantine and then coming out and covering the team. So I'd have to go up there during the conference finals. But yeah, at this point in time, if you're media, it's considered essential. It's considered work. So you are allowed into the country at this point in time. But I'd have to show media credentials and make some proof of work that I'd be up there for work.
Dennis, we can't wait to follow along with the coverage that you and everybody at the fourth period are giving us. And hopefully we get the chance to talk to you here as the playoffs progress.
Oh, it's always great being on the sports with you guys. Great reuniting with you. So, yeah, absolutely. Hopefully we'll talk to you again before the season starts.
You got it. Dennis Bernstein, thefourthperiod.com. Talking some NHL, Stanley Cup playoffs, in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia.
Power play goal for Winnipeg. So Winnipeg now up on Calgary, 3-2, 9 minutes to go there in game 2.
And by the way, I think Waro is actually in Toronto covering the Stanley Cup playoffs for the AP and had to go through that same process that Dennis is describing, the 14-day quarantine.
14 days, yeah.
The whole thing.
You remember that thing from the Blue Jays, right? The quarantine act up there, if you don't abide, that's punishable up to a year in jail and a $750,000 fine.
Yeah. Serious. They're taking it seriously. There's a reason why they've essentially eliminated COVID from their country and their remaining discipline through the Stanley Cup playoffs. NFL appetizers on the way next. We serve up today's top stories in bite-sized form, news and notes from around the NFL, including a head coach who has been diagnosed with COVID look, another head coach, I should say, who's been diagnosed with COVID. The latest on the Buffalo Bills, a couple of opt-outs to tell you about, and a couple of marquee players landing on the COVID reserve list as well.
And there's also a team that has come out and said, we will not have fans in the stands this year, period. And it has, regardless of what their local officials are saying. It's not the Bills. We'll tell you which team, and it might actually surprise you.
Danny reached out on Twitter at ESPN Rochester, wondering if we were going to spend any time today talking about what's going on with the XFL. Yeah, we've got that coming up for you next as well. NFL appetizers in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
ESPN Rochester is excited to introduce Radio.com Rewind. Radio.com Rewind. It's your way to check out and listen to the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. If you missed it over the past 24 hours, on-demand audio of Rochester's only local sports talk show and afternoon drive. Download the Radio.com app and select and favorite ESPN Rochester. Maybe you missed a big interview, something funny, or just want to hear the entire show. Easy to navigate. Pause and rewind any length of segment you choose or take a listen to the entire show. It's the all-new Radio.com Rewind from ESPN Rochester. Download the Radio.com app now and rewind up to 24 hours so you can catch anything you might have missed on the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Listen the way you want, when you want. Only from AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.